We'll start by looking at a battle, one of the largest battles of the war, that Rosecrans and Braxton Bragg fought in Middle Tennessee, fought near Murfreesboro, the Battle of Stones River, or Murfreesboro. Braxton Bragg had withdrawn into Middle Tennessee following the Kentucky campaign and had taken up a position just a few dozen miles from Nashville, southeast of Nashville. He commanded what was now called the Army of Tennessee. It had been the old Army of Mississippi. Now it's the Army of Tennessee. This will be, together with the Army of Northern Virginia, one of the two principal Confederate field armies for the rest of the war. Bragg's army had about 36,000 men. He faced the Union Army of the Cumberland. Again, the usual pattern of naming armies. Bragg's army is named after the state of Tennessee. And I think it was an optimistic gesture on the part of the Confederacy, indicating that the Confederacy meant to hold on to Tennessee or to reclaim Tennessee. They've decided to name this major army in the West after a state that was largely in Union control at this stage of the war. So it's named after the state, and as was the pattern with the North, the other army is the Army of the Cumberland, named after the Cumberland River, commanded by Rosecrans. It numbered about 42,000 men. Rosecrans understood very well that Lincoln expected action from him. Rosecrans is a man who had been on the scene for a good part of the war. He's an intelligent, competent graduate of West Point. He'd had a lackluster career in the old army. That's the perhaps a generous way to describe it. He'd resigned his commission in the 1850s. We've seen how many of these soldiers got out of the army in the mid-1850s because there really wasn't much chance for advancement. Certainly not much chance to make very much money in the army. And he ended up heading a kerosene refinery in Cincinnati at the time of the outbreak of war. Came back into federal service, as so many West Pointers did, and he'd participated in the campaigning in Western Virginia in 1861. Those campaigns that had made George B. McClellan one of the early Union war heroes. Much of the fighting and accomplishment had come from McClellan's lieutenants, Rosecrans among them, but McClellan had gotten most of the credit. After that action in Western Virginia, Rosecrans had been sent out to the Western Theater, where he had campaigned under Halleck and Grant before giving command, before receiving command, I should say, now of the Army of the Cumberland. So here he is, new in field command and with instructions to make something happen. And that's what he proceeded to do. He moved south out of Nashville the day after Christmas in 1862 and embarked on this unusual winter campaign. He moved toward Murfreesboro, which is about 30 miles southeast of Nashville. That's where Bragg's army was reported. Now, as he moved, he was harassed. His supply lines were harassed, I should say, by Confederate cavalry under Nathan Bedford Forrest and John Hunt Morgan and Joseph Wheeler. Again, this is a pattern that we've seen before. As Union armies move deeper into the Confederacy, their supply lines, sometimes very tenuous, were subject to being hit and broken by Confederate cavalry. That's happening to Rosecrans, but Rosecrans moved ahead anyway. He moved, in fact, quite spectacularly well, especially when compared to what his predecessor, Buell, had been used to doing. Ahead of him was Braxton Bragg's Army of Tennessee, positioned behind Stones River, a little northwest of the town of Murfreesboro. The armies came together very close to one another, less than a mile apart, on the night of December 30, 1862. And you had one of those scenes, those really memorable scenes from the war, that certainly stuck in the minds of everybody who was present. Apparently, a band on one side or the other started to play patriotic tunes that night. It was very quiet, a quiet winter night. Northern band played the Battle Hymn of the Republic or some such song, Yankee Doodle. And when it finished, a Confederate band answered, played Dixie or the Bonnie Blue Flag or Maryland, My Maryland or some patriotic Confederate song. When it finished, a Union band answered, and then a Confederate band answered, and you had this battle of the bands, so to speak, going on into the night as men on both sides listened. Toward the end of this, one side, its band began to play Home Sweet Home, which was the most popular song in both armies during the war, very sentimental, put men in a very, very much thinking of home frame of mind. And all the bands began to play Home Sweet Home together.